everybody, and welcome to Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast on the entire internet.
Internet.
Bing, bing, bong. We are here at the beginning of season 7, and we are excited. And I am one of your hosts, Kelsey.
And I am one of your hosts, Carmen, and it's a beautiful day, truly a beautiful spring day outside for me. Hopefully for you too, everywhere you listen. Beautiful day for a podcast.
Season 7. How are you feeling?
Here's what I need you all to know. Very rarely do I watch an episode and like really struggle to not play the next episode.
Yeah.
But I really struggled to not play the next episode. And
that's
you're
so
lucky.
Funny because it's not even like a cliffhanger. It's just kind of like,
I just felt good. I was just like, I want to see what's happening.
Also, like, we'll get into it. But, like, because I watched it yesterday. And I think you watched it last night. I was like, I need to get Carmen to be like, I was thinking, predict the last thing that you would ever expect to happen in this episode. It may have been Christina and Owen getting married, but I couldn't do it. How can I get him to make a prediction? Because, like, at the end of season 6, like, for the most part, things are kind of wrapped up with a bow after, like, aggressive trauma. Like,
wrapped up with just a terrible bow.
When I say wrapped up with a bow, I mean, there's not, like, any huge cliffhangers other than Meredith not telling Derek about the miscarriage and pregnancy. Other than that, like, it's all kind of like, we know everyone's alive.
Everyone who's meant to be known
for sure going to have severe emotional trauma.
Yeah.
But it's not like super cliffhangery. So at the end of last episode, like, a lot of the predictions were just kind of like regular predictions in a way.
Yeah.
And so I was like, but I knew that Owen and Christina get married in the first episode. I was like, there's just no way I can be like, hey,
there wouldn't have been any way.
Do you think they'll get married?
I would have been like, I probably would have said no, but then it would have opened up to them and I'd be like, ah, fucking damn it. Like, we're going to get into it, obviously. Like, we've just started this episode, but the marriage thing was one of the reasons that I really wanted to watch the next episode. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, is this real? Like, do they annul it the next episode? what actually is happening here? Because it's definitely, I don't know. I don't like Owen in this episode, but I also don't like anyone in this episode except for maybe Weber. Like,
this
honestly,
episode,
let me be clear. When I say I don't like anyone, it's when I say that it is everyone is making emotional decisions based on the trauma that they've gone through.
Right.
It's not anyone's. No one's doing anything wildly egregious except for fucking Derek.
Oh my God.
Just like, I have a lot of feelings about Dr. Strange over here, just ready to fucking die at any moment.
This fucking guy and the fucking cops, I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Anyways.
Take that man's license away.
Seriously.
This is
illegal and
dangerous.
After the second time, I'd be like, okay, no officer likes him that much. Okay. At a certain point, you're gonna kill someone.
Yeah, I don't care how many lives you've saved.
Yeah.
I actively don't care.
Yeah.
Anyways. Okay, well, we're into it, clearly.
Let's open up this episode.
Let's back up a little bit. First of all, it's been, this is like the longest we've gone without recording in a while.
Yeah.
Because we recorded
when this releases, it'll be 2 weeks since the finale.
On the 21st of April. And it's the 1st of May. So it's been like a solid 10 days since we recorded. It's just a long time.
Yeah.
To go without recording or to go without watching an episode, because I wanted to watch Grey's several times and I was like, ugh.
Yeah. And this episode isn't even going to release until May 9th. So
right. We're trying to get ahead of it.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. And so we have to take we took our standard week in between seasons to kind of collect our emotions.
Yeah. Which was much needed. Although right now, back on the emotion train.
Yes, it's true. How was therapy? Was it emotional?
No. It was actually, it was an easy day of therapy. Kind of uneventful. Good. No big breakthroughs.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just why bother going? You're not going to tear yourself down every single day.
My face wasn't even split in two. Both my sinuses weren't even open. My jaw wasn't even broken.
What about your tongue? Did they cut your tongue open?
Nope, nothing.
One of our nephews broke his jaw last week.
Oh.
So he plays baseball and he was warming up and he pitched the ball and someone hit it and it smacked him in the face. And he proceeded to sit down and just watch the entire game. And then afterwards told his dad what happened. And his dad was like, yeah, we're going to go to the emergency room.
Yeah.
So they don't know if he needs surgery yet. I think they're like, it was weird because they were saying they are going to wait a couple. Like they made an appointment with the surgeon for later in the week to see if he's going to need surgery. And I was like, that just seems like a long time to just walk around with a broken jaw. Like, wouldn't you need to know quickly? I mean, maybe if it's not shattered, I don't know.
Guess. One time, Michael's mom broke
her jaw and it was like shattered and her mouth was wired shut for like months.
Yeah. I had a friend. We were riding our bicycles around in front of the house and she had fallen off the bicycle and she landed on her face and she broke her jaw. And
I'm not going to tell the story of how Michael's mom broke her jaw because it's so horrific. I think it might actually like hurt people's feelings.
Mm.
You know what? I will tell it, but if you don't want to hear it, now's the time. You need to skip 30 seconds. they parked a boat and she was going from the boat to the dock and she missed it. And so she fell into the water and hit her jaw on the dock.
Yeah. That's really not that bad.
Shattered it.
That's really not that bad.
I left some of the details out because every time I hear the story in detail, I get uncomfy. Anyways, we're safe now. She did the thing where she like couldn't eat for a while. So when she finally could, she still was on like a liquid diet, but she could eat more food. So she blended up like a taco and a milkshake and drank it through a straw. And she still to this day was like, best meal I've ever had.
Okay. I don't believe that. That's it. You know what? People got their things. It's like when you have a baby and the first thing you eat is like sushi or a sandwich and you're like, oh, they're the best meal fucking ever.
I mean, think about being on a liquid diet for like months.
No, I can't. I can't even think about being on a liquid diet for an hour.
Yeah, it's true. Do you have any shout outs that you need to do? Because I do think we have a couple that we need to.
There's for sure one new review that I want to shout out. We have actually there's two shout outs. There's two review shout outs. There's one. It's Bams Mushroom, B-A-M-S Mushroom. And this was on Apple Podcasts from Great Britain. Putting the great in Great Britain, Bam's Mushroom. The title is Love This Pod! ! Love listening to Carmen and Kelsey discuss Grays through different views. Their banter and tangents are hilarious. It feels like you're just hanging out with your besties discussing Grays. That is what's happening. The other one is when I go back into the podcast app here, I will find that. And this one, I love this one. I love this one so much. So, hold on, let me see if I can. This is just funny. Sorry, give me one second. Going on to Chartable right now. I forgot for a moment that we actually do shout outs, even though like most of our episodes, I feel like at this point, are just shout outs because we're incredible. And
hey, we started with a good bit of Grays. So now we're mixing the banter in so no one can just skip it all. Yeah. Sorry, Clara.
Yeah. This one doesn't show on the Chartable, so I can't get the full. I don't know if there's more to this, but the title is from Danny55057. The title is Pick Them, Choose Them, Love Them, and then there's like seven dots. So I don't know if there's more that's just being cut off. But the review is just a thumbs up emoji.
Okay. Well, thank you, Danny.
So I love it. I think it sums up everything into one.
We appreciate it. We do have three new Patreons we're going to shout out.
Hell yeah.
Maya, Kate, and Shelly.
Maya, Kate, and Shelly.
Yeah, thanks guys for joining.
Fuck yeah.
We're excited tonight, as the night that we're recording this, we're doing another Zoom with the Patreons.
Yes.
And we are going to kind of be, I think we're mostly going to be talking about Carmen's reactions more in depth to the season 6 finale. Because that's just, that was such a big, everyone was really looking forward to that. And we did it. We accomplished it. Also on Instagram, I just got a message from Becca about finding the podcast and currently watching it with her mom is watching it for the first time. And so she's watching it with her mom. And she Becca has watched it more than once. And she
wait, like was, our Becca?
Or no, a different this is Becca. A new Becca. This is a
new Becca.
Becca. Also, she really was, she said, "I'm not over Carmen's pronunciation of aubergine. It made me laugh out loud as soon as he said aubergine."
I love that. So. That's my truth now. Aubergine.
Aubergine.
Can I have some aubergine parmesan, please?
Also,
or it's aubergine parmesan.
Tessie had messaged me an article about a woman in Alabama who gave birth to twins ish because she had two uteruses, the woman.
Yo,
like that
damn.
Girl in that one episode.
Don't even remember that episode.
Okay, well, it was a long time ago. Addison still worked there.
Oh, that was a long time ago.
So yeah, also shout out to just all the people who shared the video of Carmen reacting. Oh,
so many. That was so fun. That was so fun.
It got some attention, clearly. And we love to see it. It was pretty much as expected. There were some people who were like, honestly, that was kind of a more mild reaction than we were expecting. I think you guys don't understand like how much Carmen didn't expect anyone to get shot. Other than Derek.
Zero.
Fully thought he was going to shoot Derek and fully did not think Reed was going to get shot in the face. Also, I think there was one point, I don't know if we talked about this last week. There was one point in the episode where you were like, I think this might be like a dream sequence. Not like super far into the episode.
Yeah, but I think at one point I was like, what if they're gonna fuck us all up and it's gonna be like this is Derek in therapy or Derek having a dream of his hospital or some shit.
Yeah. And so if you watch it with that, when Reed first gets shot, you say like, oh my fuck, what the fuck? No. Like the way you say no makes me think that there was a part of your brain that was like, this is like someone's imagining this.
Yeah.
But then when he turns around and shoots Alex, then you were like, wait, actually,
what the actual fuck?
Wait, no, but what is happening? it was a journey. I'm just so thankful we watched it together.
I am too. That truly so great. Definitely a top 20 moment for my life. I also do, before we move on, I have one more shout out. Remember Mr. Straight Edge that had emailed you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We were messaging on Instagram. He had, well, there's two things. Number one, he's in Johnson City. So,
OMG.
And that's, Tennessee. So
that's where I went to college.
Whoa. So funny. Small world. So shout out there. And he had an idea. This could be something maybe we do either on Patreon or we do a special episode. But he was talking about maybe we could do a Harper Avery parody version where it's the best moment of the season or
oh,
best,
that's a good idea.
He said best moment of the episode, but that might be too much to do each episode, but
yeah,
like a Harper Avery, like a Grey's Academy, Harper Avery, kind of like parody off. So shout out on that. That was a good idea. And then last there's a couple of folks. Oh, Anna, I hope you're fucking cotton candy blizzard was just amazing. Oh, I want one now too. So that's all I got.
My sister also is a very big cotton candy ice cream person.
Good. Cotton candy is the best flavor.
I disagree. Okay. Well, okay. This is the first episode of the seventh season. Yay! We're
Hooray!
Episode 127 overall. The name of this episode is With You, I'm Born Again. And that's a song.
It is. It is a song from 1979. With You, I'm Born Again is a duet. It is written by Carol Connors and David Shire. And it was originally made for the motion picture Fast Break. And it was performed by Billy Preston and Syreeta Wright. So, this did do pretty well for the charts. Not too bad. The song, I was not a huge fan. I am a big Motown fan. I'm not a fan of the slower bops. So, I just kind of want to temper expectations on there. Sorry, Alicia, it's better than that other metal song that we had the other day. So this reached as high as in Australia, number 21. Belgium was 17. Canada was 4. Ireland, 7. Italy, 14. The Netherlands, 7. Sweden, 10. The UK, 2. The US Billboard Hot 100, number 4. And at the end of the year, it was still maintained a number 21 back in 1980. So the song did fairly well, better than I would have thought. Some of these songs, when they pop up on the charts, I'm like, oh, okay, all right, didn't see that one coming. And there's some that I'm like, oh, this should have gotten more love. So interesting. But this one here gets a two from me. It gets an intern. And I did not download it to my iTunes library, so I am so sorry. However, With You, I'm Born Again is a song, and it did fairly well.
Thank you.
Kelsey, back to you. Kelsey, back to you!
This episode was written by Krista Viernoff. Directed by Rob Korn, who also directed the second half of the season 6 finale. So he directed Death and All His Friends, and he also directed this, which I feel like I really like that choice. And I feel as though the flow really goes, like, it really goes from one into the next, and I really like
a good bridge, a bridging,
especially
there.
Just because they're obviously so tied together, and like with all the flashbacks, and like then kind of like the in between quote unquote flashbacks that we, like, there were flashbacks to season 6 finale that we saw in that episode. And then there were the flashbacks to, like, the in-between. Like, things that either happened directly after or just, like, sometime in between then and this episode. Which I did read something that said it's been about a month since the season 6
Shit,
finale.
Hold on. Fuck. Cock. Fuck.
Is
fuck.
It a bug? I think it's a bug. Oh, God.
Spider.
He's
fuck you.
It's a spider, guys. Carmen, and if you're new here, Carmen records in his basement, and sometimes spiders get in, and I do worry that with spring and summer approaching, they will be coming in more, as the bugs come typically into the homes more in the spring and summer times.
It's a big one. Shit. Fuck. Did you hear the stomp? Did you hear the stomp or no?
No, I did not.
Maybe you didn't hear the stomp. Okay. Sorry about that, everyone. Just had to go kill a fuck. And I'm sorry if you're a spider apologist, okay? But I'm not going to.
If they are outside, we leave them be. If they come into our homes, we do not always leave them be.
We kill them. We kill them dead with a big fat fucking foot stomp, curb stomp. That spider. It's mangled. It's for sure dead. I don't know how spiders got. I don't know how he got that far without me noticing, but I looked over and I was like, ah, fuck. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Anyways, so yes, it's been about a month. Says the internet.
That makes
between
sense.
Between last episode and this episode. And so, yes, I like the choice to have Rob Korn direct this one as well. I feel like that makes sense. He was obviously deep in the trenches with the season 6 finale, so it makes sense that he would be in the right headspace to do this next one. This,
you know what's
episode,
funny about this, though?
What?
Rob Korn gets to direct the season finale and the season premiere, Bridge Gap. But Star Wars, the sequel trilogy, had a different director every single movie, and it's the largest franchise in all of humankind. And they're idiots, and they really fucked everything up. I was watching this is going to be. I'm not going to let this be a big tangent, but I was reading an article about how within the first 5 minutes of The Force Awakens, we saw Kylo Ren hold a fucking laser blaster in the air with the Force because he's so strong. And not a single moment after that, the rest of the next three movies was ever that good. Nothing. It was downhill. That was the first 5 minutes peaked. Everything else.
Who directed Force Awakens? Was it J.J. Abrams?
J.J. Abrams and then Rian Johnson or Rian Johnson. And I think they brought it back to J.J. I don't fucking remember.
I do feel like J.J. did more than one of them, but I'm not positive. Anyways.
Whole so this aired conversation.
September 23rd, 2010. So it's been for us since May, June, July, August, September, like 4 months since the last one. Oh, guys, we used to just really wait a long time for our television.
We're complaining about waiting 2 weeks.
Almost an entire series on Netflix. I watched that Dead Boy Detectives. I started it 2 days ago and I watched the rest of it. Oh, no. Monday. I watched it all Monday. I think I watched the first episode Sunday, and then I watched the other like seven on Monday because I binge correctly. It's not a concept Carmen enjoys.
No, I don't like the binging.
Anyways, I recommend it. Please go watch it also because it hasn't been renewed for season two yet, and I need more people to watch it so that it gets renewed for a second season because it was fun for me and I want there to be more of it. If you follow me on Instagram, you did see me say that they're all supposed to be 16 and 17 and they are all mid to late 20s. And I struggled to get past it. I mean, I understand that's typical in Hollywood. Like all the shows you watch where kids are in high school, they're like in their 20s. But for some reason, this specific one, I was like, it's too much. It's too much of a difference. I'm sorry. Find an actual 19-year-old. That's a legal adult. Okay. Yeah. You can find the 19-year-olds. Like, it doesn't have to be a 28-year-old.
Yeah. I also feel like there's a ton of childhood actors that are out there struggling to make ends meet. Just pay them.
Anyways, so this episode had 14.32 million viewers. And let's start with our Netflix synopsis. Netflix says the staff tries to deal with physical and emotional trauma in the wake of a vengeful gunman's deadly rampage. I would say that's correct. Not specific, but correct.
Yeah. They should have said Gary Clark.
Yeah, fuck that guy. Episode one on Hulu says Derek makes a decision to resign as chief and return to surgery. A little too specific and not really grasping the broad picture. So I would say Netflix did a better job on this one.
So I want to just shout me out.
Oh,
how amazing I am. I did say Weber was going to be chief in the interim. And I predicted that he was going to come back and be chief fully. So kudos to me. I'm amazing. What else was I right about? What else did I predict at the end of last episode?
I don't know. I don't really remember.
There was something else that I feel like I was just so right on. I honestly didn't see Lexi and Alex.
Oh yeah, you
up.
Definitely said Alex and Lexi were going to stay together.
And I definitely did not see the fucking marriage. Fuck.
Yeah, you did not see that coming.
Did not see that coming. All right. Anyways, so just want to shout out how right I am, and I'm amazing.
Just for that.
It was on everyone's mind, so I just wanted to, you know, verbalize it.
He also said several times that Richard was going to be chief in the season six finale. So
this is basically
you're not
season
no.
six finale,
but it is the season seven premiere. Okay, so. Where should we start with? Let's start with the new guy, Andrew Perkins, the grief counselor, grief therapist. This is a man that specializes in like counseling people after traumatic events, grief, PTSD. I like the storyline of bringing this person in.
Yeah.
I like that they have to get cleared by someone to go back to work.
And the parameters at which they use to get them cleared, though, seems confusing.
How do you mean?
because some people were cleared before this guy got in.
Well, because they probably had a different person, and then they were like, maybe we should bring in someone even more intense because this
we need a
like
professional.
Just so horrific. Yeah, or maybe they were like, we have too many people. We need to bring someone else in to help us like get through everybody.
Yeah.
Because so many people were affected. So did you like, what were your thoughts on this gentleman?
He looks like someone who's familiar, mm-hmm. but maybe not. And I'm not going to check IMDb. You're welcome. Because I don't want to know how long he's in the show for. I imagine he's going to be around for a while because apparently him and Teddy are a thing now. But I mean, it was the way that they used him was cool because they used him as a conduit to kind of start each individual's like some of the flashbacks. Like each person got some different flashback because of their mm-hmm. conversations with him. I guess why Dr. Wyatt wasn't present in some of those conversations, or you know, maybe they could have used both. I don't know, but
well, she was
I like
a,
him
she
so
was
far.
There, so I don't know if she would really if you would want to use a. Someone who was also potentially going through the trauma as well.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
And this person, I don't know if they say it in this episode or the next one, like they say specifically that he like specializes in like PTSD and grief counseling. And therapy.
And apparently he's the best, says Weber.
It is true. He does.
When
say
you
that.
Want the best, you call the best. You call this dude.
I'm What's trying to see if he's in anything that you watch, but I don't think he is. I think he just has a very like attractive generic face.
TV face. Yeah, that's a good way of
putting
it.
In a good way. Like that is an attractive man.
Yeah.
Also,
does everyone in this episode look more tan? Did everyone just go get tanned?
I mean, it's been the summer, so probably.
Oh yeah. That's a good point.
In
Derek
real life,
looked tanned. Alex
probably
looked tanned.
Like not in the plot line. I don't think they would have gone to get tanned, but in the reality, they just had like 2 to 3 months break. So probably
it's fair. It's fair.
I don't see anything you would recognize him from on here. So,
all right. But we did get, so before we even meet this guy, we get an opening with Bailey on an airplane with little Tuck Tuck, Tuck Tuck Goose and freaking God. This lady's like, did you know anyone who died?
People be nosy. People will just ask any question.
Seriously.
Like
it's all these freaking old ladies flying on planes. Where is she going to by herself?
She's going back to Seattle.
Sheesh.
Maybe she was visiting someone else and now she's going back to Seattle.
But Bailey was like with her kid. She's like, oh, it's crazy. Did you know all the people? Did you know the people who died, got shot and murdered? Sorry, kid. I'm having a conversation with your mom.
A traumatic conversation.
Yeah.
About a traumatic event.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, I feel like Carmen is probably not this way, but I'm not the type of person who needs to talk to the person next to me on an airplane.
I don't like talking to people. If they initiate conversation with me, it really depends on my mood. But I will probably be polite and carry on a conversation. But when I put my AirPods in, I don't want to be looked at.
Don't even acknowledge that I exist.
Yeah.
Unless you listen to this podcast, then you can talk to us.
Take a selfie. I sat next, leaving Chattanooga, there was an old lady who sat next to me. Not old lady. She's probably in her 50s. But she fell asleep with the shades open and the light was coming in and burning a hole through my leg. So I waited until the snack cart came around and the snack guy woke her up. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Before you close your eyes again and go back to sleepy land, can you close your shade? I'm just really hot. I'm burning up. All right.
I'm envious of people who can just sleep with that much light
in a metal tube in the sky too.
Yeah, I can, unless I've had some assistance from alcohol, I'm probably not sleeping on a plane. Okay, so yes, Andrew Perkins. So yeah, I like the flashback concept as well to fill in the gaps of more trauma, lingering yeah. trauma. I'm very glad that they didn't just like go into regular Grey's. Like, obviously they needed to do this, address this thing that happened, address that they're not okay. Even though yeah. some of them are like okay enough to go back to work, they are not okay. And I like that, because if they had just been like, and it's Grey's again, it's so, so jarring and disingenuous to reality that it would be hard to get past. In my opinion. Sorry.
Podcast yawn. I definitely agree. I think when you look at, because at the beginning of the episode, I'm trying to think, Alex, Christina, and Meredith all had not been cleared at the beginning of the episode. Right. Alex right. gets cleared. But by the end of the episode,
Derek hadn't been cleared.
Oh, Derek hadn't been.
No, because it shows him getting cleared after he quits.
That's right. It was unclear to me. So did Weber not take any time off? He basically was like, I was outside the whole time and I saw this guy kill himself in front of me, so I'm good to work tomorrow. Like, what?
That seems to be what happened. Yes.
Okay. Okay, let's take a quick break for our regional sponsors, and you may hear, if you're listening in the month of May, an ad from our very own sweet sweet Kelsey about Book of the Month Club.
Me.
So if you happen to hear that, you should definitely buy that. And if you don't hear it, you should still probably just buy that. So we'll be back after a quick message from our regional sponsors.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
And we are back. Okay, so who...
Here we are.
What storyline would you like to start with?
I guess Derek.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
He's really pissing me off in this episode, shockingly. Shocking to everyone and no one. He comes back. It's his first day back. He obviously took time off. He did have heart surgery, so he would need some recovery time. So we're glad that that's true. At least that's real. During his recovery time, he has taken up the new hobby of just seeing how fast he can drive his car.
Yeah,
on
he's
main roads with other human beings that he could potentially hurt or kill.
He is auditioning for the real life Fast and Furious. He's trying to get into a drag racing league, a professional drag racing league, and he's driving a Porsche. So that thing's got some hoof to it.
So fun fact about Patrick Dempsey. Is he does like hobby do like F2 type F1 Formula One. Like, he's not in Formula One. I don't know what the tiers are. Right? So there's like, it's not NASCAR, right? It's Formula One. So it's like real corset, like roads and like very different cars.
Yeah.
Than what NASCAR does. Much less. Safety.
Like the movie Ford versus Ferrari, if you've seen that movie. And he also was in a Ferrari movie with Kylo Ren.
Oh.
Yeah, Kylo Ren was Mr. Ferrari, and Derek Shepherd was one of the racers, I think. I have not seen that movie, but I saw a preview, and in the preview, Patrick Dempsey...
That was recent, right?
That was fairly recent.
Yeah, I do remember this.
In one of the previews, Patrick Dempsey's character goes, "There's no spot for an ashtray for my cigarette. I don't understand."
Okay, so. United Sports Car... championship career.
That's what he races in,
I guess.
Good for him. Remember that time I became a NASCAR fan in your house?
It was my dad's house.
In your dad's house?
It wasn't my house. I don't put NASCAR on. Dempsey, who maintains a sports car and vintage car collection, enjoys auto racing in his spare time. He has competed in pro-am events such as 24 Hours of Le Mans, Rolex 24 at Daytona Sports Car Race, and Ensenada Score Baja 1000 off-road race.
The Le Mans is the one that the Ford v Ferrari movie is about.
Oh, okay. Dempsey. Oh, so sorry, guys. When I said it was a hobby, he says it's not a hobby. And it has become much as much of a part of who he is as acting. It is all consuming in many ways. I couldn't imagine not racing right now. It keeps me motivated. It is all I think about on a daily basis. Interesting.
So kind children. Of how we feel about the podcast.
Yeah. Well, good for him for doing that. I'm glad he is, you know, safe, because these things are scary sometimes.
Yeah. But anyways, so he's trying to do real life drag
Maybe
racing.
Maybe this episode inspired him.
Maybe. Because they actually let him drive 125 plus fucking miles per hour on an open highway.
Yeah, for sure. That's what happened.
Where was the traffic in Seattle?
Oh, my gosh. Sorry, I just was also reading. Patrick Dempsey is dyslexic.
Oh. Wow. How That's did he get any crazy. Of his lines right?
It says he has to memorize all lines, even auditions. Because typically in auditions, people will sometimes still just read off the sheet. But he has to memorize them all.
Wow.
So interesting.
So he's in jail, which they established that he wasn't getting charged. Meredith came out and got him. How you could, I don't know, let him continue to be chief when he's just being reckless and being a wild man seemed pretty crazy, but he didn't keep his chiefdom very long into the episode. It was pretty quickly. He's like, ah, fuck this. And it was very quickly into the episode that April was like, oh, hi, I'm here and I'm fine. What are you making that face for?
I just read something else that I did not care for on his Wikipedia page.
Is it something that can be shared?
Yeah, when he was 21, he married his manager and acting coach, who was 48 years old.
Oh, okay. Was she hot?
I don't know. They later divorced and then she died, so.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. She died of heartbrokenness.
They divorced in 94 and she died in 2014, so.
It was a slow broken heart disease. Progressive.
Anyways, he has been married now to the same woman since 1999, although they did file for divorce and then didn't get divorced and then reconciled and are happily together now.
Who's he married to?
Gillian Fink, which I do fully believe is part of why he has aged so well, because she does like makeup and skincare professionally.
I don't think I know her.
Yeah, I don't. She's not like she does makeup.
Did you
and
catch
skincare.
That? You caught that joke. I said, I don't think I know her.
Oh, Fink. I see.
But I really don't know who that person is.
No, you wouldn't. Anyways, okay, sorry I've derailed this into me just reading about Patrick Dempsey on Wikipedia. Anyways, so yes, real life race car driver. Well, that's a good question. You would think there would be more travel in Seattle. Maybe they're all on the ferry. I don't know. I don't know how Seattle works.
Yeah, everything like must have really rocked him if he said, I'm not even going to take the ferries anymore. I'm just going to drive my car so fast that it's going to hydroplane and drive across the water, maybe.
Ooh, it's going to take flight and just fly across the water.
So with this, so Meredith says the cops worship him. He's like, oh, yeah, I saved all their lives. The scene where we do have April kind of like right back in there and Derek's like, what is it, a cardoma that she's like, this is the biggest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. That's all crazy. Mm-hmm. And Meredith's like, you got cleared for surgery? And she's like, yeah. And she yells out pretty loud, bitch. Think Meredith was a little bit overreactive there. Also, people probably heard April didn't respond to it at all, which
I think
is funny.
She yelled it. I think it was more like, oh, bitch.
I don't know. I think she was like, you dirty bitch.
And then she punched her in the face.
Anyways, yeah, that's fucked up. So where to now? Where else with Derek specifically do you think we should talk through with his healing
journey?
Well,
let's
journey
talk about when he first
journey.
Wakes up, right? His flashback when he first wakes up. April is there and she says, sorry, I got you shot. Which should have been fulfilling for you, because she says, I should have stayed in the office and I came out and you got shot.
she's correct. She should have stayed in the office, but then Derek is slightly more correct.
Mm-hmm. I got everyone shot.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, because he decided to do this and he was the point of the lawsuit and all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. So, do you think the near death experience of it tracks with him now deciding to just hurl his life into the hands of fate and others at just anytime he gets behind a wheel?
Well, everyone's grief process journey is different. So some people, he sees it as I'm going to live life to the fullest, which is speeding and doing crazy surgeries. Which that scene where he goes to do that surgery, what was it, Kevin? Kevin, what is his name?
Greg.
Greg. And the mom's like, that sounds crazy. And Derek's like, oh, medical advancements started with the phrase, that sounds crazy. And I'm like, okay, bro, calm. I mean, you're not wrong, but you also, I don't think you're right. Like, I'm sure, anyways, anyways, we'll get there. So his version of that is, it makes sense for him. He also, out of everyone, is dealing with a different trauma because he was the main target and everything happened because of him. Maybe he thinks he doesn't deserve to live. So he's going to be crazy fast driving in hopes that he will have that adrenaline before he's hurled into a fucking
pillar. I definitely think he likes the rush of adrenaline, very clearly. He says that he likes the adrenaline. But also, I think there might, I don't think this is true for everyone. I kind of feel like because he got shot essentially in the heart and lived, there might be a certain level of feeling of invincibility that he's feeling.
Yeah, maybe.
If you want to do something to get that adrenaline and that high, I don't care. But it should A, be legal, and B, not endangering other people. You cannot just go out on the open road where people are just driving and bebopping and living their lives and just go over 100 miles per hour and just hope that everyone around you is driving safely enough that it won't be an issue. Like, the fact that all that happens is he gets pulled over is, to me, unrealistic. Like, you would at some point hit somebody. I don't know if you guys have been on roads, but no one knows how to drive.
No one. Again, I have never seen a major city with those open of roads that they're making it seem. So, anyway, so when he walks in, he's getting the standing applause, and he's like, hey, everyone, glad to be back.
One of those lobby meetings that they have.
Yeah.
Where it's the waiting room where people are waiting to hear if their loved ones are alive, and they're just like, we're just going to have a quick meeting.
Yeah. Everyone, can you go outside and wait for your grief to process? That's fine. Yeah. I know that they just died, but I need you to, Derek is back. Like, and Derek's great. You guys are going to love him. So he comes in. That's where we find out that Weber's been kind of in charge. I was not expecting Derek to quit and step down.
You weren't, but you predicted that Weber was going to be chief.
Yeah. But I thought it was going to be like a hostile takeover.
Ah, okay. So you were shook several times in this episode is what you're saying.
Yeah, this one definitely I was like, oh, okay, that's crazy. Wow. Nice.
Oh, like four different times every time something was revealed. Because they reveal Christina and Owen pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was in the opening scene because
quickly.
Meredith is talking to the doctor, Dr. Perkins, right?
Yeah, and he keeps asking her like, what about your husband getting shot? And she's like, he's fine. Christina's getting married and that's not fine.
Yeah. That's when I was like, okay. I was fairly certain when they brought that up that it was going to go through. I didn't think it was going to be the end of this episode, but they can't have Christina be a part of two called off weddings. They already used that bit
or they
once.
Could and that's just that'll be her thing.
No, oh, gosh,
not getting married.
They'll have to bring back T.R. Knight to play a different character and she'll marry him.
Oh, I would hate that.
Yeah, no, obviously we all would. I also hate that Lexi's brunette again.
Oh, I like it.
I like the blonde.
I also like the blonde, but I also like the brunette. And it feels like she's more... We'll get to her in a minute. We're still on Derek being a turd. Okay, so he sees the thing and he's like, life is too short for me to not cut people's faces in half.
Yeah.
I quit.
Chief Weber, everybody.
Yeah. No consultations with anyone else necessary. I'm just going to do this. Not going to talk to my wife. Not going to talk to the board. Not going to talk to anybody. Not even going to ask Dr. Weber if he wants this. I'm just going to decide it for everybody.
The way, so that scene immediately after that fits so much comedy into a short amount of time. The way that Bailey is laughing and goes, that motherfucker just quit, and slaps Weber's shoulder. And then when Meredith is like, he was supposed to clear me for a surgery.
Yeah.
I actually was like dying laughing. I had to rewatch that scene 2 times.
It was funny. I love Bailey laughing and everyone else being like, wait, what is happening? He just quit.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, podcast yawn. So, yeah, he goes to see this Cordoma. Let's talk about Cordomas because, in case you forgot, this is a teaching hospital.
Damn it.
And I did not do that in the last episode because there was a lot of other things happening. And I didn't have much to say about gunshots. So I will talk about Cordomas, though. This is from the Cordoma Foundation. What is a Cordoma? It is malignant bone and tissue tumors that are like... It is a group of them from sarcomas. Like, there's just so many different types of tumors. It's very interesting. Unclear to me if this is cancer or not. I feel like it's not. But it is malignant, which is not benign. Benign is the good thing. Malignant is the bad thing. Chordomas account for about 3% of all bone tumors and about 20% of primary spinal tumors. So not a lot of bone. It's more on the rare side is what I'm gathering. They are the most common tumor of the cervical spine and the sacrum, which is the bottom part of the spine, like near the pelvis. Chordoma tumors usually grow slowly without symptoms, but might also cause mild symptoms for years before doctors find it. So that's terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't love this segment because it really just makes me afraid that I'm secretly having all of these medical maladies.
I've got 7 chordomas.
I'm happy to learn, but I'm afraid of everything. Chordomas, typically because they're so involved with like the brain or the spine, as we see in this episode, are really hard to treat because even if you can access them, they're very like, because they're malignant and they're constantly growing, they'll really like bury themselves in these very important parts of your body, like a brain or a spine. Like, you need those things. And typically they'll feed off of specific, like the arteries that go to your brain. And so you need that as well. So that is why they are trickier to treat. And oftentimes they do come back after treatment in the exact same place. So I do guess once you have it and you've beat it, they would at least know to watch that spot specifically. Because these, if they reoccur, it is more likely that it will be a local reoccurrence. So in the same place. 30 to 40% of patients, the tumor eventually spreads or metastasizes to other parts of the body. So
the reason
it is rare because it does say chordomas are diagnosed in 1 in 1 million people per year.
Wow.
So that's about 300 people per year in the States. That's crazy. And 700 in all of Europe.
That's crazy.
In any given time, fewer than 1 in 100,000 people are living with chordomas. So again, it's rare. And then typically diagnosed in people later in life, like 50s and 60s. So did you have a question?
No, I was just going to say the reason this one sounds like it was more intense was because April had said that the dura
other doctor had basically done a shit job. And so it had grown to both terrible places, like
and
the
brainstem
and the spine.
Yeah, and I wanted to just add on and explain to everyone what the dura is. It is the tough outer layer of tissue that covers mm-hmm. and protects the brain and spinal cord. It's closest to the skull. And that's from nationalcancerinstitute.gov.
Yes.
So, crazy, crazy.
Yes. So, again, rare. And they don't really have, like, the survival rate or whatever on it because they're all... it's so rare and each case is so different that they really don't have like the percentage of survival or whatever that they normally do on a lot of tumors and stuff. So I found that to be interesting.
Interesting. I love
the
that.
Typical signs are pain and neurological changes. Again, because if you have a tumor in your brain, you would imagine that there would be some neurological changes. So
and pain.
And pain would be like headaches, neck pain, vision impacted. Could, if it's large enough, could facial sensation could affect like the way you can move your face or speak or anything like that. So, yeah.
So thank you for that, Professor Kelsey.
You're so welcome.
I want to, the next part of this specific conversation, go to the conversation leading up to that flashback where Derek wakes up and April is there. So, mm-hmm. The therapist is like, he says something about, should I
be concerned about impulsivity?
Yeah. You quit your job. Should I be worried about being impulsive? And he says, life is short. I just think less and just do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You should be worried choice. About impulsivity. Clearly, this man is showing that he's just being impulsive. Yeah. So, I think, I don't know what else in the conversation was shown that he gets cleared for surgery. But I think the fact that Derek is being honest is what made
Exactly. Is that I think the level of honesty and he's not like trying to hide anything. He's like, and he does say, yes, I quit my job, but I've been wanting to quit it essentially since I started it. I just have now at a point I've gone through this event and that, I don't want this job anymore. Also, I like that Perkins says the shooting was clarifying for you. And Derek says a lot of people died that day. So I think he's not going to be like, I got the clarity that I need for my life. I'm going to live better because I was shot, because he feels responsible for all these other people getting shot.
Right.
And I feel like that is what this conversation acknowledges. He's not going to say, oh, you know, silver lining, because he feels responsible that all of these people got shot and several died.
Right.
And
which,
so,
how many was it? Was it four or 11?
18 people got shot. 11 of them died.
11 died. Okay.
We know, like, we witnessed five people like die, because it was Reed, Charles, that nurse, and then I think they said two security guards they show. But then we see like Teddy and Owen find somebody. Weber just walks past some dead guy. It was so jarring.
Carnage.
So literally. Yes, it was 11 people were shot, 18 people were shot, 11 of them died.
Crazy.
That's a lot. But I did like that Derek wasn't like, yeah, I just feel like I can see things so much clearer because of this. He is.
The shooting was the best thing that could have happened to me, really, doctor.
He's definitely seeing the big picture of like that. Yes, he was affected, but he was not the only one affected.
Yeah.
Which I can appreciate. But also, stop driving your car so fast.
Also, I feel like maybe we should start talking about Greg. Because Derek and his recklessness and the impulse... Okay. It's impulsive. And it's reckless when he's driving because mm-hmm. it could really do a lot of harm to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
The being impulsive in surgery, we see that there's a couple of scenes with Meredith mm-hmm. where he is like making these decisions, and it's not that it's bad. It's just he's thrown a lot of blinders on.
Yes.
He's not looking at risks.
This scene with and everything with Greg specifically is where I really feel like Derek feels invincible. Because A, he's like hasn't really been doing surgery. B, this surgery specifically is so intense, and like he feels so confident. No one's ever done this before. And when you think about being reckless, going on the road and driving fast, yeah, someone may get hurt. If you split this teenager's face open, he's going to be hurt.
We see him be hurt.
Maybe it will work. Hopefully it will work. We're led to believe that it works, but he's still in a lot of pain. So definitely this is less of maybe someone will get hurt and more of definitely someone will get hurt, but I get to do something cool and I want that. So that is where it definitely bleeds over in a worse way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Than just the driving. And I think, again, the feeling of like, I can do anything. I survived being shot. And I don't necessarily think he's thinking that consciously. The ability to survive everything and be invincible or whatever. I don't think that's a conscious feeling. I just think that there's some kind of residual there that's making him think that. Not a one for one, but in a way, when Izzy survived and then she was like, oh, I had a 5% chance and I survived. And that kind of bled over into her work a little bit. I think it's maybe something similar.
Yeah, that's a good call out. I think on my end, from what I'm seeing is. So he wants it. He's clearly chasing. He calls it out. He's like, an adrenaline rush. All I care about is adrenaline. When I'm in the surgery, I'm doing adrenaline. The thing with adrenaline chasing and what's the people who do like do cliff adrenaline junkies. Mm-hmm. It's like you always search for the next big thing. So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, we're led to believe ultimately. I know we're jumping around a little bit with Greg's story, but ultimately it seems like it works. Although that scene where he wakes up, fucking shit, that was intense. So we're led to believe that it works, but what's going to be the breaking point where Derek either stops speeding, which the man is in jail and misses the wedding.
Yep.
he got to be the best man at Burke's wedding. And then he was asked to be the best man at Hunt's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not even the best
one, which is maybe why it actually got to happen. Yeah. Maybe he was the reason the first one didn't happen.
He's not even the best man on the show. Everyone needs to calm down.
So correct.
So,
who is the best man on the show from this episode?
Mark.
Agreed. That was the correct answer. This was not an opinion piece. This was a correct answer. And you've answered correctly. Well done. Right, I'm proud of you.
Right now, the best man in this show for me in general is Mark.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's not.
And this episode specifically is also Mark.
Yeah. This episode specifically is also Mark. The best girl on the show. Oh, man, I feel like for me, it's got to be Callie.
Right now,
I kind of just love Callie. But we'll get into that in a minute. But anyway, so I do fucking love Lexi though. No, it's got we'll get there. That'll be next.
Part of my issue with also the Greg case is Derek pitches this idea and people are kind of like, "Oh, you think it'll work?" And he's like, "Yeah." And so everyone goes, "Okay," except for Meredith. Meredith is like the only one that gives pushback and is like, "Dude, that's like you are asking too much of this person."
Like, you want to split his tongue in half. You want to crack open both his sinuses, break his jaw.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's just like there's so many things in this show where they're just asking the other person to trust them and be like, but I'm going to do all the hard work. But in this case, it is like, yes, I'm going to do something really hard. And then you also have to like live with excruciating pain for a very long time. And yes, to his point, he's like, this isn't dying pain. It's recovery pain, which I do think there is a difference in it. Obviously you want to recover, but I just feel, no one except for Meredith is thinking about more than like 5 minutes into the future. It feels like in the case of Greg.
Totally agree. And he gives her, he's what scene were they were like actually looking at the scans, and Meredith is like, oh man, that sounds kind of crazy, like you really shouldn't do that. And Mark and Callie had like just signed off, or they said yeah, like we need a week, and Meredith said something, and then Derek was like, that'll be all, thank you Dr. Gray.
Yeah.
Bitch.
Callie and Mark come in, the tumor, they're like breaking down where the tumor is, how it's wrapped around the brainstem, and Derek's like, this is how we can do it. And everyone's like, wow, that's so bold, how cool that you're being so bold. And Meredith is like, I have some concerns
about the boldness level.
Yeah, about maybe we pull back the bold, maybe we just italicize it. And so then when he pitches the surgery,
wait, pause. That was a very funny joke.
Thank you so much.
Thank
you, I appreciate that.
No, that was very, even though you don't want to credit how funny I am because I'm the funniest person that you know, I want you to know that was very funny.
Thank you so much.
You're the funniest person who's a woman on this podcast.
On this podcast. I knew you were going to say that. Now, when it plays back, I'm going to be delayed, but in the reality of recording, I said that at the exact same time that Carmen said it.
No, it was really good. That was very good.
So, to your point, when Derek pitches it to the mom and she's like, that sounds crazy. And then he twists that and be like, every medical advancement start with someone being like, that's so crazy, because it is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Like, yes, surgery now is very normal and regular and part of like the way that we treat a lot of things in the medical world. But that does not mean it's not still crazy. We are just normalized to it. Like thinking of cutting a person open and like rooting around inside to see what's going on and like just hoping that with your training you can fix it is crazy.
Yes,
it was crazy the first time someone said it, and it's also crazy
every time.
Still.
Really?
Like, yes, we have the tools to set up for success, but it's still crazy.
Yeah, like I even think to when Jess got her C-section.
Yes.
Yeah, we do C-sections every day, and I think it's like it's shocking. Common. It's like 50% of all births now. It's like pretty 1-to-1. Don't quote me on that because I don't know the actual stats, but it feels like it's a very high percentage. But you're cutting into a human to extract a baby out. That's still fucking crazy. So I love that you call that out. Are you looking
it
up a stat?
It is in the United States 31%, but 31%. It's not showing me the world, so okay. I don't know.
And the rest of the world's like, we don't even know what that is. We just force them all out the vagina.
Some places are pulling them out of the shoulder. So.
Oh, boy. Those advanced world nations. So
anyways, I just think surgeries are crazy. And so pitching it is like, don't worry. Everything starts as it's crazy. Like it is crazy. Again, there's a difference between, oh, you'll have to recover from like having an incision and you'll have to recover because I'm going to break every single bone on the top of your body.
I need to understand. So I'm trying to envision this. They start to show. I was nervous they're going to get really graphic with this surgery.
I felt that it was too graphic.
It was a little, when they had
the mouth, the teeth. I don't like
the teeth.
Also,
I don't like.
Yeah, the gum and the mouth, the way it's like holding open the mouth like a torture device. And then there were certain things they weren't showing, but they were making the bone breaking noise, and I hate that.
Yeah. Teeth, honestly, anything face-wise, teeth, face, eyes.
Eyes, really, I'm not a fan of anything going on with the eyeballs.
If
the
I ever...
where the had
the needle?
Teenager with the pencil in his eyeball.
Yeah, no, that one sucked. That one sucked. So, what was I going to say? When they're in the middle of the surgery and Weber's like, you ever see anything this crazy before? And Owen's like...
Yes.
I've seen mortar shells do less damage than this.
Yeah.
Like, this is the most traumatic thing I've ever seen. And the music they're playing during that surgery is intense.
Yes, very.
It's like you think something's going to happen. But I have a hard time understanding what that surgery actually looked like. And I think this will be the last thing I say. And we'll finish up Greg in the next episode so we don't go too long on this one. But Was it just his face split open? And what was the brain doing during all of this? Because they needed to crack his face open to get to the brain, but it was on the brain stem in the back. Why couldn't they access
it? It was super big. So I think they had to get to a part, something from the front. And then also.
Okay.
Also, that song was called Thistle and Weeds by Mumford and Sons.
Yes, that was all. So, wow.
That's that song. Very and haunting. Then let me see what he actually like says he's going to do, because it does feel, I definitely understand your question and it is confusing to me. Also, again, Meredith actually going over the risks with this patient is the correct choice.
Yes.
Being like, how dare you do that?
It's the most reasonable thing we've seen in this show for about four or five episodes. And when she turns to him and she goes, you're driving awfully fast, Dr. Shepherd. The least you can do is wear a seatbelt. I'm like, yes, yes, Meredith. Yes,
thank you. Okay.
Sheesh.
So the last surgeon broke the dura, enabled the tumor to mushroom into the brain and down the spine, wrapped around his brain. Whatever we do, we have to do it quickly. The size of this thing, Mark says, normally I open up the sinuses or the hard palate. And Derek says, you have to open up both. And sinuses, hard palate, tongue, jaw. So I don't know. I guess they're saying typically it would just be one or the other, but because of where it is, it has to be both. And then again, they're just like, oh, and then Meredith says, you don't know how enmeshed the tumor is. You don't know if you can get it all. That's when Derek goes, thank you, Dr. Gray.
Yeah, that's what
and
it
was. And that's when Mark and like Callie's like, oh, clear my shepherd. Welcome back. I'm like, dude, what?
Yeah, let's maybe pause on that. That's okay. It's like, let's take 1 second before saying it'll only take a week to try to do something that we've never done before and clear my schedule.
Yeah. So yes, then the scene afterwards. Well, first of all, again, he's on like a high, so he's making out with Meredith and he's like, we should make a baby.
Wait, we should probably talk about this in the next episode.
Fine.
I think because there's a lot of stuff that happens with Christina and Meredith in that surgery scene that I think we should talk about. And
well,
we
that'll
can
be when we talk to them about them. I just wanted to finish up, dear.
Oh, okay. That's fine. You're good. Let's do that. You're
That's
so smart and wise.
Oh, thank you. It's like I'm a professor. Yes. Also, not someone commented on the reel and was like, why did you write Grey's Academy? And I was like, oh, because it's for a podcast. Not the name of the show.
Yeah. We like, are oh, Grey's Academy.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, afterwards, they're like making out. And Derek says, let's make a baby.
Which is uncomfortable with the truth that we know to be true.
Yeah, also because after you have a miscarriage, you're not supposed to try again for a baby. I want to say for like 3 months. I could be very wrong on this.
Are you even allowed to have sex?
I truly don't. Well, they haven't. It's been probably a month since they have had sex because he was recovering from heart surgery. So that would have aligned
right.
Where they
that
could
didn't
maybe,
even cross my mind.
Yeah.
If I'm having heart surgery, I'm having sex the next day.
So yeah, Meredith kind of hesitates, especially when she sees the scar on his chest, and then he gets paged for Greg, and that's when he's in a lot of pain and they're like, we've maxed out on the amount of morphine we can give him and he's still in this much pain. I'm like,
I don't know why they just don't put him in a medically induced coma.
Well, that can still be damaging for the body. And I think post-surgery they do need you to move a lot so that things don't like atrophy and everything.
I guess that makes sense. That's fair. I didn't think about that, but I'm
and
like,
also I don't know. And then that's when Derek is like, it's okay, the pain will stop and we can help, but like you have to fight, you're in the driver's seat. I don't know.
I don't think a world exists where if I'm in that much pain, a quick 2 second motivational speech from a doctor who I've known for 3 seconds will be like, oh, you know what? You're right. I'm just going to lay down. Someone put on Bluey while I relax here. Right. Like, I don't know. That scene was hard to watch, and that dude's face was mangled.
I mean, it was the most swollen a face probably could be, because it's all entirely broken. And his tongue, like, he can't shut his mouth because his tongue is swollen, because his tongue was also cut open.
Oh, that was his tongue, not his lips. Yes. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Anyways, so Meredith has told him Derek multiple times that if he gets pulled over again, she's going to leave him in jail. And he's like, oh, you said that last time. And she follows through finally. So he leaves to go get ice for the wedding. He gets pulled over. She gets there. She's like, I'll make the wedding. I just wanted to make sure you were okay. Takes the ring and then leaves. Good for her. I'm on her side.
Absolutely. And she looks great in that dress with her hair and her makeup.
She looks amazing for the wedding. They all do. But yeah, she leaves. And that's it for Derek for this episode. She leaves him in the cell. So on that note, we'll finish up this one, and then we'll talk about everything else in the next episode, where we will start with everyone's favorite segment.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.